Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, which means peace be unto you. Welcome to another episode of The Deen Show, helping you understand Islam and Muslims. And now that you've understood that there is no deity worthy of worship except the creator of the heavens and the earth, it's actually in your Bible. If you're our non-Muslim guest and you are coming to us for the first time, you're a little confused about some things, it's in your Bible too. If you look in Deuteronomy 6:4, the Lord thy God is one God. In Exodus, it tells you, worship the Lord alone. No other deity to be worshipped except God alone. That's the first step unto becoming one who surrenders and submits to God. As Jesus said, not unto my will be done, but your will. That's the first step. The second step we talk about now, the prayer. If you're a Muslim, you need to be praying five times a day. If you're looking at us from the outside, you're a Christian. It's in your Bible. The same thing as all the messengers of God prayed. And Moses, he fell on his face and prayed to God. It's in Numbers. In Genesis, it tells you, Abraham, he fell on his face and prayed to God. It's in your Bible. And Jesus, and he went a little further and he fell on what? On his back? On his bum? No, on his face. And he prayed to who? To himself? No, he prayed to God. It's in your Bible. So, we cover two things now. That there is none worthy of worship except the Creator is one. Not three and one, four and one, six and one. One. And one alone worthy of worship. Then you follow it up with some actions. You say you love God. You love your dog too. But what about the Creator? You got to follow it up and prove this love. So you got to pray to Him. Remember Him. Got a lot of things distracting us nowadays. TV, the music, Hollywood, Bollywood. The prayer keeps one in check, remembering the next life. Now, the charity, you got to give now. God has given you all this wealth. You're going to keep it? And what? You're going to have to depart for it soon. Purify your wealth. It's another pillar of Islam. All the prophets of God did it. And then, what else do we have? We have the fast. It's in the Bible also. Jesus, in Matthew 4:2, tells you he fasted. The disciples of God, they fasted. And now, we're talking about today, because we're bringing you up to speed. Because Islam is based on five pillars. But today, we're going to be talking about the fifth pillar, Hajj. And, again, as I've been saying, it's a unique thing when you put all these things together. It's actually in the Bible. In Psalms 84:5-6, it talks about the pilgrims passing through the valley of Becca. It's another way of saying Mecca. Now you're like, wow, amazed. If you're sincere, as I'm sure many of you are, you're probably curious. Why am I mentioning the Bible and we're talking about Islam? Because this is the consistent message that's been the same. Worshipping one God, submitting to Him, meaning doing what God wants you to do. So we've made some comparisons. There's some things that look that we don't agree with that are in the Bible. But we do believe there is the Word of God in the Bible. But things have been changed. It talks about, for instance, God has certain attributes. He doesn't rest. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't get sleepy. You see, after this show, I might be just wanting to just knock out. God don't get tired like this. But in the Bible, it talks about God sleeping. Psalms, God awoke. In another verse in Psalms, it talks about, then the Lord awoke it as one of sleep. I mean, now we just need you to think a little bit. Turn it on. Don't turn it off. This is something we can't attribute to God. God doesn't sleep, get tired, or rest. Enough of this. We're going to be bringing out our next guest, who's more qualified than myself to talk about the fifth pillar, Dr. Sheikh Munji. Sheikh, how are you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you very much.
Thank you for being with us today to cover this very important topic.
Thank you.
We're going to get straight down to it. Fifth pillar of Hajj. We want to know, what is Hajj and why is it so important? Can you please explain this?
Inshallah. A'udhu billahi as-sami'il 'alim min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, was-salatu was-salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. Wa nashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluh. First of all, I would like to thank my beloved brother Eddie for giving me this opportunity to speak to all of you, and I hope that God Almighty help me to fulfill this responsibility to clarify a lot of things about the fifth pillar of Islam we call Al-Hajj. First of all, as I start with Arabic, by praising the Lord, the only one, Allah, and I bear witness there is no one worthy to be worshipped but Him, and also I bear witness that Muhammad, he is a beloved and the messenger of the only one God. Today, as Brother Eddie, he started his show, talk about four pillars of Islam, as he talked about the declaration of faith, then he spoke about fasting and salah, prayers and charity, as all of them common things we can see in all the faith, the religion God sent down to human being in his books, in the Old Testament and also the New Testament, also in the Quran. As I quote him, he said in the Old Testament, spoke about Bekka, the valley of Bekka. It's the same word in the Quran, by the way, chapter 3, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned that is the first house Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala built for mankind, for him, as a place of worship. It's the house in Bekka. Even we call the town itself called Mecca. So the scholar of Islam, they said the house called Bekka. And the word Bekka, as Arabic word, it is a place where the people, they come and they weep. This has come from Bekka, mean they weep. And we travel all the way, leaving our families, our children, we leave our business, our wealth, and travel all the way to the house, the first house God command the angel to build. As some history in Islam spoke about when Adam, peace be upon him, and our beloved mother Hawa, Eve, when they sent down to the earth from the heaven, after the forgiveness of God, of course, he forgave them in the heaven after they ate from the tree. So they came to the ground, then God sent the angel and they built the house for worship in the ground. And we have a similar house in the heaven also. It's called Al-Bayt Al-Ma'mur, as in the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said, this house in the heaven will be visited every day by 70,000 angels, and they will never return back to the house. To show us the creations of God, how big and how, you know, numerous numbers of creations of God, is not only us. We are the smallest of His creation, yet we are the most honorable creations, as God stated in Surah Al-Isra, which means in English, the journey, chapter 17, when Allah said, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ وَحَمَلْنَاهُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ رَزَقْنَاهُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. Verily, we have honored the children of Adam and prefer them over the creations, all the creations of God. As a pillar of Islam called Hajj. Hajj, as Arabic word, if you want to translate into English, means it is a trip, but it's not any trip to make. It is a journey, but not any journey you make. It is a traveling, but not any traveling you make. It is a trip to specific and holy places. Muslims are commanded by Allah in the Holy Quran through the Prophet Abraham, the one who erected the house from the foundation in Mecca, in the valley of Mecca. And he, after he built the house, he ordered Abraham, peace be upon him, and his son Ishmael, to make the call to all mankind. Mm-hmm. Come and visit my house. Visit me in my house. Though in Islam we look at all the mosques, we call them and consider them as the house of God, yet yeah. God called us, come and visit me in my main house, which is Mecca. Mecca, it is the main and the central town of the earth. We call it, God mentioned in the Quran, Mecca, it is Umm al-Qura, it is the mother of all the cities. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the earth first in Mecca, then he, from Mecca, the whole entire earth born and divided into what we see today, continents and cities and towns and countries. So, and even in according to science, Mecca, it is the center point, as the earth is oval shape and is spinning around itself. When you have oval shape spinning around itself, you have to have where a point is center point, everything go around it.
Mecca's that
so
point?
So Mecca, it is the real origin point, and all these longitude lines, as we consider Greenwich, it is imagination line.
Yeah.
But the main line, it comes from Mecca all the way, passing by Medina and Jerusalem.
SubhanAllah.
That is the, it's been proved by scientists today after they went to the moon and they studied the earth, all the things. So it shows us God calling all of us to come back to our original mother.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you see when you go to Mecca, you see Muslims, not only from the Arabia, Muslims come from all the way from Indonesia, from Australia, from Japan, China, Europe, you know, Latin America, you know, from all over. And you see the unique and the unity of human being in this town called Mecca. So it's a holy trip. The person must, there is some requirements for the trip. He must have financially is able and physically fit, because it requires at least spend at least 10 days there, more or less, to perform very hard work. That is, you are in certain clothes, we're going to explain that soon, and you are in certain areas where most of it, mountains area, mm-hmm. desert area, is not as many people the living in the comfortable cities and, you know, air condition and heat and things. It is completely different. We get out of all our belongings. We have no more our wealth, no more banks, no more things. It is nothing but you and the one who created us.
So just to summarize this part you had mentioned, it was first brought by the, you talked about the angel with
yes.
Adam?
Yes.
And then from there erected by the prophet
Abraham,
peace yes. be upon him?
Yes.
And then from there, it was a call to everyone go to make the journey, the pilgrimage
yes.
to the worship of one God.
Yes. And even in some ahadith, some sayings of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said, it was no prophet God chose, but he was commanded and visited that house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because in a lot of history of prophets are missing. You know, people, they might think Moses, for instance, he only traveled between Egypt and Jerusalem.
Yeah.
The reality is that Moses and his brother Aaron, all the other prophets, they visit the holy place in Mecca.
Yeah.
And they perform it pilgrimage. That is the official word of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
How would you summarize the importance of Hajj, and if somebody just in short wanted to know, we talked about the angels and then the prophets going on, how would you just summarize the essence and importance of Hajj?
Well, you see, there is some part from God Almighty as a reward for it,
yeah.
of course, and something for ourselves to benefit from.
Yeah.
There is no service we do in Islam, but serve it really serve and benefit us, because as God said in the Holy Quran, he said, you know, ya ayyuhan nas, O mankind, you are in real needs to him, but he has no needs to all of us. So when we do any service in Islam, we understand this service, it's more beneficial to us.
Yeah.
So let us see from the point of view from God's, you know, reward, as a reward, as there's some hadith, I can't quote all of them, but just to give you an idea, when the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said, whosoever performs Hajj in decent way, means, you know, stay away from any illegal or unlawful act and behaviors, not using foul language, not harming the others, even the relationship with the legal relationship with your spouse, you know, it is, you are staying away from that during all of this certain days, and when you are, we call the restriction of ihram, that you are in certain mood. At that time, he said, whosoever does that in excellent way, with sincerity, seeking the pleasure of God, he will return back to his home, sinless,
yeah.
as if he was reborn again. As if he was a newly born person, you know, all his past will be especially the we talk about the sins, the mistake, the whatever evil things, it will be removed from his record, will be clean. Doesn't mean that he was reborn, because in Islam, whatever we did bad in the past and then we asked Allah for forgiveness, then Allah will forgive that things, but our good deeds is still there. And even in some surahs, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Furqan, أُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتِ. Those they really repent with sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believe in Him, believe in His word, Allah not just wipe out or expiate their sins, Allah will exchange their evil into, or change them into good deeds. So there is even when we repent, the reward, it is returning the bad into good as a reward. So for pilgrimage, when we go there, you know, there is a reward from God, forgiven. Other reward as whatever we seek in these days, not just forgiveness, if any call we make, because we are there to serve God Almighty with sincerity and invoke Him. So by invoking Him, there is a hadith. One of them, God Almighty Himself says, and the Prophet, peace be upon him, he quote this word, he said, Al-Hujjaj, the pilgrims, are my guest, my honorable guest.
This is the word of,
yes.
The word of guests, word, yes, of our Creator.
Exactly. And he said, I invited them. And they, so it is it is invitation from God Almighty. So those the one they really visit the holy place at that time, they are the one honored by Him, appointed by Him.
Yeah.
You know, like if you have a party or something, you don't send to everybody.
Yeah.
You send to certain people.
Uh-huh.
We are today Muslim 1.6 billion.
Yeah.
Only the fortunate people to make Hajj for a year. You know, per year it's around between 3 to 6 million people.
Yeah.
You know, so these small numbers, they are the honorable guest of God. They heard the call and Allah allowed them to come and visit His place. So they became the fortunate. And He continued, said, so by responding to me and come to visit me, look what He said. He said, they asked me. He put the phrase in the past. And I answered them. So as a traveler, when I go there, I know already that God Almighty, He already heard my prayer and He answered them. So that encouraged me to look for the best of the prayers. It's not just a prayer. It's not just invocation. You raise your hand, oh God, you know, give me some fortune, give me some money. No, look for the better than that, you know. It's not just for immediate life, for the eternal life.
The next life also.
Don't, you know, we don't have to waste. We know there is an answer. So this is something we benefit from the trip as a reward from God Almighty. But for ourselves, it's something very important.
Yeah.
You know, think about it. You are leaving your home. You're leaving your business. You're leaving your family. You go on by yourself. For some people, they go for 20 days, some people 15, 10 days. You know, it is a time for us to sit down with ourselves, to start to see what is our life all about? What is the purpose of our life? How can we change ourselves? It's a chance, you know, for us not to meditate like some people, they think, you know, go say, be quiet and silent. No, don't be quiet. Do something. Change yourself. It changed yourself for better life than the life you had before.
Sheikh, tell me now, we know that Islam brings the American, the African, the white, the Chinese. People come to this house of God to worship one God. And it's a beautiful thing that when people do this, and we know that there is a great misconception. Some people say, you know, these Muslims, they worship a black box in the desert. We know this is something totally false.
True.
Yeah. Now, we talked about the importance of Hajj. We're going to get into all the steps of Hajj. So if we know Hajj is coming up, you know, want to sit tight and see all the steps. But we want to go into real briefly. We're going to come up with a few of the top excuses that some of you guys are making. And we hope you're not making them, but somebody might say, I'll wait until I'm 40. I got some kids. I retire. Then I'll make the Hajj. What do we got to say about this,
Shaykh? There is no time for Hajj. The time is the moment, again, Hajj in Islam requires two things. Requires to be fit physically and able financially. There is no age required there. So if you're young, let's go for it. If you have the wealth, go. Because that's what exactly the Prophet, peace be upon him, he said. He said, don't delay the Hajj. The moment you have the wealth, the moment you can do it today, do it, because you don't know what will happen tomorrow. The wealth can be diminished. The health, some people, they get sick. You know, and I had a lot of experience with that. I remember one person, he prepared himself for Hajj. I'm going this year. Then he said, I'm still young.
Yeah, common excuse.
And it took him 10 years. Even he said, I will do it next year. It took him 10 years. I met a person from, St. Louis. And he told me he made the Hajj first year. The second year he came. And I said, oh, you did the required, you know. He said, well, this Hajj for my father. I said, oh, your father never did the Hajj. You told me your father was an engineer, worked between Mecca. This is the holy site.
Yeah.
And Arafah and the other cities. He was a civil engineer building all these tunnels. He said he was so busy building the tunnels and then he died. And never performed Hajj. Living in Mecca, work there. Just you can put your clothes of ihram and just perform the act, you know, and miss it. That's why we said the honored guest. You're not just a guest. You are the most honorable human being. God said, I want you, even you come from South America. Mm-hmm. And someone live in Mecca, and Allah said, not you, not yet.
The person says now, you know what? I'm waiting for God. And you said Allah had invited you 1,400 years ago. Some people will say, I'm waiting. It's not my time yet. God hasn't invited me. I don't feel it in my heart. What do you say to them, Shaykh?
No. This is, you see, we sometimes give excuses like that because we have weakness in our faith, you know, in God. That is, if we really believe in the God's word, if we believe in the promise of his word and the promise of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, that we would never be hesitant to say, God doesn't want me. How would we know? We don't know the unseen. We don't know what will happen to us tomorrow. As I give some examples, I personally met some Meccan people born, raised in Mecca, and I asked them, how many times did you perform Hajj? None. Nothing whatsoever. You know, it is so. For the person to say, I'm still young, you know, I don't know what's going to happen to me, you know. No. The first one, it is must. If you have the means, you must go. There's no excuse. Maybe for second time, third time, you can delay it. But the first one, it is like the prayer. You cannot say, well, I'm not going to pray today, I'll pray tomorrow.
Doesn't work.
Because, you know, there is a word of one of the scholars in Islam called Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali. He said for us to define a person, a Muslim, you know, we have to see with that person the performance of the pillars of Islam. So if he declares his faith, if he prays, if he fasts, if he give charity or zakah, if he travels and he's able, we call him Muslim. It is pillar. Think about it. Five pillars. If you knock one of them down, that person think he is a Muslim, he has to question himself. If you have a house, if you build a house and you knock one of the pillar down, do you think the house will be still there?
It's not going to be solid. It's going to not fall down. No. We got another one, and then we're going to go on to the fun part. All this is fun, learning about your Creator and what he... getting to know what he wants you to do. Another common excuse, Shaykh. And, you know, we forget that we think this is some, you know, devil with a horn and he's going to come appear, and we forget about his tricks. He don't want us to pray. He don't want us to worship God alone. Yeah. He don't want us to fast and pay charity, and he don't want you to make Hajj. Yeah. So these things They are from shaitan, possibly. That's true. Huh? Yeah. So now, another excuse before we go on to the details and how to make Hajj and what to do when you're in Hajj. Person says, you know what? I got family issues. I got some things I got to take care of with some credit card bills, this bill. He's got the money. I'm scared to leave my business behind. I got all these clients. He's got the money because he's making Hajj down to Florida. He's making Hajj down to his hometown. I don't know where it is. I don't know if he's thinking it's Hajj, but you find them every year, every other year, taking the whole family of 5, 6. But when you bring up Hajj, he's just got a dozen excuses pulling out of his pocket. What do we got to say, Shaykh?
Well, again, you know, let's remember one of the advice of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When he said, take advantage of your situation today because you don't know what will happen tomorrow again. He said, take advantage of youth, your youth time, before you get old. Of the time when you are wealthy, before you become poor. We never know. Excuses, again, in one surah, it's called Surah Al-Qiyamah. When Allah, about the Day of Judgment, Allah says, you know, no matter what excuses we try to present to the Lord, we ourselves know ourselves better than anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so sometimes we give excuses, but we know this is not the right excuse. There is no excuse, but we, again, there is a weakness. We have to be strong in our faith, and every day in the morning, we say to when we leave our house, we learn from the teachings of the Prophet, peace be upon him, by saying, when you leave the house, say Bismillah, in the name of God, I believe in God, and I put my trust in God. So if you have family you worry about, you have to know it is only one provider, God Almighty. It's only one protector, God Almighty. We are nothing but a means for them to enjoy their life. We are not the one who provide for them or provide to them, or we are not the one to protect them. How many of us living around our families try to protect them, and all of a sudden we ourselves get sick and we cannot protect our own self? How are we going to protect others? So I think we have to see ourselves. We have to speak to ourselves sincere. This excuse I made, it's acceptable to myself before I stand before the God Almighty. That's a very important thing. And I think once we found that we find the answer, I think all of us will be able to go and make this beautiful trip, which is we call it the journey of our life.
That's what indeed it is. And you know what? It's something that you don't want to miss out on. Hajj is something beautiful. It's a spiritual upliftment. You come into the house of your Lord. Knock off all these excuses and make the Hajj. If you're already going now, alhamdulillah, we're going to be talking about the steps. You want to know what you got to do. You don't want to be confused. We're going to help try to explain some of the details for those who have shunned all the excuses away. You're making the 5 daily prayers. You're coming back to your Lord, repenting. He's forgiven, inshallah. Everything is going smooth. Now you want to make the Hajj. Sheikh, can you please break it down? What is after they have paid the ticket, they got their visa, the shots, and all these other things in order, now they're on the plane?
Yes.
Or even just before that, what do they got to prepare before they leave? And then when they get there, steps 1, 2, 3, 4, so they can complete and inshallah have an accepted Hajj.
The most important thing, you know, let's say that first. Hajj is very simple. Every ibadah, every service we do in Islam, very, very simple, very easy. Alhamdulillah. You know, as the Prophet ﷺ, he said in the hadith, the deen, the faith, the religion of God is very simple and easy. And Allah will never place any hardship on us in His commands. All His commands are in our match our capacity in our, you know, in the way we can do, we can handle the things. It's not nothing hard at all. Whatever God commanded, we have to understand it's easy. The most important thing about Hajj, how to prepare ourselves from here. The minute you pay the money, the minute you get all your reservations, you start to think about yourself. you know, I want to go to Hajj not to come back the same person I was. I want to be a different person.
Yeah.
I have to make a commitment with God Almighty. I have to check with myself what I'm doing wrong here. How can I change myself when I come back? You know, I have to burn my mind. This Hajj, it is a journey to Allah. You are traveling to Him. That will reminds all of us that is as if we are really going to meet Him, which reminds us with the Day of Judgment. When you go there and you see millions of Muslims around you, different culture, race, languages, mm-hmm. color, but all of them look the same. The way they dress, the way they talk, the way they pray, the way they walk around. So it reminds you that all of us, as if we are standing on the ground of the land of resurrection. Everybody raised the hand to the heaven.
Yeah.
Everybody crying. Everyone weeping. So all of the things you start to think about it from today. You know, you start try to collect your thoughts and your mind and your heart. How, you know, this is, I want to be different. How can I change myself? You know, how can I be this trip to be my real spiritual trip? It's not just physical trip.
Yeah.
Is you know, that's part missing in many people's life. You know, they go there and they come back. Oh, I don't know, nothing touched me. I am the same person. Some people, they come back worse than they used to be. No, we want to come back better than the way we are.
Yeah.
You know, all the commands for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for service, it is nothing but to elevate us from one status to different, to better status, better position, better life. So that is something we have to bear in our mind. Then now, let me give you something you should have it in your mind and start to prepare yourself. Don't burden yourself with many items you carry as a traveler. You know, Mecca, if you don't shop in Mecca and Medina, you cannot shop in anywhere else. Mecca and Medina, you have the whole entire world there. Mm-hmm. So don't carry many items with you in your luggage.
That's the one thing advice. Don't carry much luggage, huh?
Yes.
Take your notes now. Get your notebooks. Start taking the notes.
Very light.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, whatever things you need until you reach there. But, you know, I see some people, they go with two, three luggage, heavy. For what?
Sleeping bag? What about sleeping bag?
You don't need sleeping bag.
Yeah.
You don't need it. You know, it's everything there.
Everything's there. You can buy it there.
And the price is cheap.
So you can buy a sleeping bag there.
Yes, you can. If you really need it.
Yeah.
You see, what happened in our regular life here, that's many of us buying stuff, there is no need for it.
Yeah.
Let us, if you search in your house, you find many things you never use.
Yeah.
It's still there. So don't go and buy stuff. For the men, for example, you know, just buy a slipper, comfortable sandal, no more than that.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need to, if you cannot find it here, Mecca has the best leather you can see.
Yeah.
And you can find.
So pack so light and you get it there.
Yes.
All right.
You can get it there. Some people, you know, they try to get all these belt things, you know. Yes, you can. You need some belt to you know, protect your wealth and whatever you carry. Don't take too much money with you. And something very important also, when you reach there, take off your watch, because you're not dating nobody, you're not have a job appointment or work. Listen to the instructions of the company you travel with. It's very important.
Yeah.
You know, don't be by yourself. Try to be with the group, because this is the blessing, the barakah, as in many words of the Prophet, peace be upon him. So you listen to instruction. You're going to face certain challenges and certain trouble. The first one you will face the minute you land in airport in Jeddah. You might spend there 6-7 hours for no reason. You don't know what's going on.
Be patient.
Be patient. Yeah. That's why I said take off your watch. Don't look at the time.
You ain't going nowhere. Just
you're not going. Exactly.
Chill.
You know, the bus will take you from the airport to another location. Be patient. You know, then he's going to take you to another agent. You are in Mecca, but you're still there. Be patient.
But now, you're not in Ihram yet, are you?
Yes, you are in Ihram.
Okay, so let's reverse a little bit. Okay. At what point do you get into that state of Ihram?
Okay.
Is that what it's called?
I'm just giving some... I'm not talking about Hajj yet. I'm just talking about something in general to be aware of, because it's very, very important. A lot of people, they get shocked when they get there.
Yeah.
They are not familiar. They used to be here. They go to airport 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
You know, they just... You know, they stay in line for 5 minutes. They go to the immigration. They stamp. No, in Jeddah is different.
Yeah.
So you're gonna face some challenges.
Be patient.
This is that's why the trip they call it rihlatu sabr. The trip of sabr mean patience.
Yeah.
So you're gonna learn that. Believe me, you're gonna learn it. If you spend 20 days there, you're gonna learn it.
Yeah.
You know, when you are in the crowd area, people pushing you. Don't expect someone will say, excuse me.
Yeah.
Because there's no time to say, excuse me. So we have to be very, very careful, you know, when we see that. You want to make your trip pleasant, always smile. Always when you face hardship or difficulties, smile. And, you know, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the prayer of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, Rabbi shrah li sadri, O Allah, widen my chest, make it easy for me, you know. And ease my task. You don't have to fight with nobody. It is, you have everybody there. Sometimes there is no communication because everybody speaks different languages. But you remember they are your brothers and sisters. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called all the believers, as in Surah Al-Hujurat, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً. Indeed, the believers are nothing but brethren. So whatever you always look, how can you help others? How can you cooperate with the others? This is very important. Some other things, you know, when you are in the crowd area, don't carry much money in your pocket or things, because as it's the season for some people like you and me going there to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's also season for some bad people there. So be careful with your money.
You got some devils working to do that too, huh?
Yes, everywhere. Subhanallah, everywhere. So you make sure what you have in your pocket, what you're going to spend outside, and don't go... In the crowd area without paying attention to yourself. That's why we ask people if they can have some belt with pocket there where they can place their money. Remember, your passport, you're not going to see it. The passport, they will take it from you from Jeddah airport, and you're not going to see it until the day you are departing from Jeddah again back to USA. So it's something also you have to bear in your mind, that is, don't fight with your travel agent. Where is my passport? It has nothing to do with it. This is in the hand of the Saudi's government. So you have to be careful with that.
Don't worry about that.
Don't worry about it. Sometimes, you know, the company will say, we're going to meet you downstairs at 7 o'clock, p.m., sharp. The buses will be there. So people, they panic and they go downstairs and, 7 o'clock, and become 8, 9. Then they start, you know, become impatient, start fighting with the company. You lie to us. You tell us 7 o'clock. You know. No. He didn't lie. It is, again, bear in your mind, you're not only there by yourselves. You're not in a big city and everything running smooth and easy. No, there are at least 3 million people around you. And there are thousands of buses, cars, everything there. And sometimes the authority, they close the town itself due to the prayers or some crowd.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody allowed to drive in. So you have to be patient, and again, cooperation. This is very, very important. You make your trip simple and easy, and you make it easy for your agent, the travel agent, and try to work the differences out with each other. This is will make the trip very easy, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah accept that. Let us talk about the service itself. That's question about how to perform.
Like the Hajj, the rules and regulations.
Yes. The rules, any ibadah, any service we do in Islam, the scholar, they classify this, the act itself, into two or three categories.
Yeah.
For pilgrimage, Hajj, there are three categories. The first category we call it arkan, which is the essential or the pillar of Hajj. The second one we call it wajib, and wajib it is less than the essential in degree. It's called mandatory, so you still have to do them. And the third category we call it recommended, which is sunnah. Yeah. So it's an extra or optional things. The first group, what we call them pillars or essential, let us see the penalty of it. If we miss any of these pillars, the whole entire Hajj invalid. So we waste the Hajj. That's why the pillars usually are the smallest amount of actions. And we have to pay attention to them, not to miss one of these. The second category, which is wajib, or we call it mandatory, if you miss any one of them, there is a ransom for it. You pay it, or you do a certain thing, and your Hajj is complete. The sunnan, which is a recommended action or option, it is better to do this way. You get the full word. You follow as Allah commands us to obey the Prophet ﷺ, to follow his footsteps. But if it came, sometimes it was hard to perform them, don't burden yourself. Don't burn yourself and burn the people around you. Sometimes people, they hang on little things. Oh, if I don't do this, my Hajj, the whole entire Hajj. No. If you understand each category, you're not going to fight.
Yeah.
But what happened, people, they read one book, and the book doesn't explain to them the difference between this acts from the others. Mm-hmm. So let us today, inshallah, try to understand. I will say it slowly and show it in simple way. This way, inshallah, all of us can take note and understand the whole thing. Let us speak first about the most important things are what we call them, the pillars, the essential act. And remember, if we miss any of them, the whole entire Hajj is invalid. So there is no Hajj. So there are four acts we have to remember them. The first one, the intention, what we call intention of ihram. How to be in the mood of certain restriction.
Yeah.
And then we explain how to perform that. So the intention, any act in Islam, as we know, in order to be judged by Allah, to be accepted, Allah first will look at our intention.
That's in the heart?
That is, we didn't say anything yet. That is you intend to perform Hajj.
Yeah.
But now we're going to talk another way, how and where.
Gotcha.
So the first thing is as a pillar. As even if you want to pray, you have intention. Mm-hmm. Did we say it? We didn't say anything about it yet.
Yeah.
We didn't go in details. But your intention has to be there. So the first act is, as a pillar, the intention of ihram. Two, be in Arafah, most of the day, the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. Third, and when I said most of the day, because some people said, you have to be there from Fajr until sunset. That is the sunnah, the extra thing. If you can do that, alhamdulillah. If you can't, whatever portion of time you can be there, because the school, they went all the way until Fajr of the day of Eid. This is another thing. That's why we don't want to confuse people. When I say intention, two, to be in Arafah on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. Mm-hmm. Because the hadith of Rasulullah said, Al-Hajj wa Arafah. So the main pillar of Hajj is Arafah, to be in Arafah.
No Arafah, no Hajj.
No Arafah, no Hajj. Gotcha. Same thing, no intention, no Hajj.
Yeah.
Okay, but the Arafah is the main thing. So number three, Tawaf al-Ifada. That is the circumambulation. We call it departure. Or some, in some other language called Tawaf al-Ziyara. But we call them in Arabic al-Ifada, because that's what Allah said in Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, فَإِذَا أَفَضْتُم مِّنْ عَرَفَاتِ, when you depart from Arafat. So called al-Ifada. So this is the, it will be after the finish with Arafat. So mm-hmm. The third thing. And number four, al-Sa'i, between al-Safa and Marwa, it is the walking between the two hills in the mosque, called one side called al-Safa and the other one called al-Marwa. So these are the four pillars of the Hajj. Missing any one of them, there is no Hajj. Again, quickly, intention of ihram two stay in Arafah on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah three tawaf the departure tawaf we call it and number four walking between the two small hills in the mosque called As-Safa and Marwa. I hope it's clear inshallah.
Those are the main pillars.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you cannot, there's no Hajj without these four.
If you stay, is it Mina where you stay and you sleep overnight?
Well, now we're going to go to what we called it wajib.
Wajib, okay.
So wajib means, you know, it is mandatory. And if the person missing, of there are seven agreeable among the scholars. So we're going to talk about what the majority of the scholars, or not the all the scholars agreed. So there are seven. And there's some one extra, you know, in some other school of thoughts.
Yeah.
So let us, you know, understand that. So these are the wajib or mandatory. If we miss any one of these, there is a ransom for it. What always you when you go there, you hear the word dam, mean blood, mean sacrifice. You have to pay extra sacrifice in order to compensate the missing act.
Is that like a charity?
It is not charity, it's sacrifice. You see, in Hajj, we have to slaughter lamb or sheep, or seven people, they have to join together to sacrifice, to slaughter camel or cow. So all of these called sacrifice. So if we miss, actually if we miss six out of seven, we have to pay for extra sacrifice.
And that goes to the poor, that meters.
Of course. Okay. This is how it would be distributed there. This is all, nobody, I hear some people sometimes say, well, when I go back to USA, I will slaughter. No. All the performance of act of Hajj must be there.
Got to be there, yeah.
Yes, whatever the government do with the meat, you know, if you know some poor people in Mecca, alhamdulillah, you slaughter there and you go by yourself.
Yeah.
But usually we pay certain banks or certain butcher and some people there, they are residents of Mecca, they take care of that.
Gotcha.
And even, alhamdulillah, with the majority of the scholars nowadays and the Saudi government does that every year, they send a lot of meats after they, you know, clean them and they froze them, they send it to poor Muslims all over the world. That's something, you know, it took time from the scholar to agree because he said this meat is supposed to be, you know, deal with only in Mecca. Until the scholar said, well, today we have million of people this latter thing. So what are we going to do? We have enough meat. So we are not going to throw them in the desert.
Yeah.
So it let us benefit from.
Gotcha.
So as Islam always taught us to always benefit from any things the people they can benefit from. So this act, it will be, number one, doing the ihram and perform the intention at what we call al-miqat. So when we're going to do the intention, the words, when we're going to put the clothes of ihram on, you know, we have to be at what we call the station of ihram. There is a place designated for different places before Mecca. So people, when they travel from different places of the earth, they reach to this distance and they have to perform their ihram. They have to say the word. They cannot pass that place. If they pass it, they have to come back to say it. And if they pass it and there is no way to come back, they have to pay for extra sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
So now the ihram, the intention as pillar, whatever you already intend, okay, to do it. But how to do it and where to do it. Now this is what we call as the first mandatory act at the distance of ihram.
So we got the main pillars, we got some of the wajib, we're almost running out of time, we got a few more minutes, if you can break down the rest of them, and then to continue learning some of the more, is there anything that you recommend that we go and a certain website or a certain book or yes. Anything else, or how they can contact you directly?
Sure. So the second one will be spending on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah between Maghrib until Fajr of the 10th in town called Al-Muzdalifah, then throwing the pebbles in Mina staying in the days, the days of Eid in Mina, then sacrifice, which we pay for it. Then we cut our hair or shave it. And the last one, that is, we do what we call tawaf al-wada', the farewell tawaf. That's at the end, the last thing ever we do to before we leave the whole entire Hajj and Mecca, that's we go straight to Kaaba and do seven rounds around Kaaba called tawaf al-wada'. These are the seven agreeable mandatory acts among the scholars. Some scholars, they said staying in Mina on the 8th of the Hijjah is mandatory as wajib to many, some school of thoughts, but the majority of the scholars, they said it's sunnah. That's why I said there are seventh acts are the mandatory act. So if we understand that, and six of them, if we miss any of the six, we have to pay for extra sacrifice. But one of them, if we cannot do it, which is shaving or cutting the hair at that time, slaughtering, do the sacrifice for the Hajj itself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, He said that we should fast 3 days during the Hajj time and 7 days when we go back to our home. So this is just, so these are the 11 acts we have to understand. These are the main act. Whatever we do after that are sunan, are recommended and an extra act. So in order to understand that. Ihram itself, you know, it means you are in the restrict of not to be in your normal life again. That's meaning you cannot cut your hair anymore. The minute you utter your intention, the minute you say labbaik Allahumma bihajj wa umrah, the minute you say that, you after you pray the two sunnah, all these sunnahs, what we call it. But from that minute, when you have your garment on, you cannot no more. You can't apply your perfume. You cannot apply no more. You can't wear underwear. You can't wear socks. You cannot, you know, for men, you cannot wear hat. You know, it's only two long towels, which like called garments. For the women, there's no restriction for their clothes. They can wear whatever they want to wear. You know, some women, they said, no, I must wear white clothes. No, there's no white clothes. You can wear whatever you want to wear. But this is once you are in that mood, you cannot cut your, you know, clip your nails no more. You cannot cut your hair no more. You are in the mood of restriction. You cannot go back to your normal life. You are restricted to all of what you used to do in your normal life. Until you finish with the certain performance of Hajj, at that time, yes, you go back to your normal life and you call it at-tahleel. That means you are out of, free of restriction again, back to normal life. If let's say now someone break these rules, you know, someone forgot and he went to the barber, cut his hair, or someone, some people by accident, you know, kill some animal of the Mecca, and it's haram to kill anything in Mecca while in Ihram, or any, even not in Ihram. So if something happened like that, there is penalty for that, and either you feed six people of Mecca, or you fast 3 days, or you pay for extra sacrifice. So this is in general about the Hajj, and because of the time, I don't want to, you know.
What we're going to do, because there's some more details we're going to cover, we're going to invite you back. We're going to have a part two where the Sheikh is going to go into some more of the details. Now, we encourage everybody, shun off the excuses, and if you got the resources, you're financially and physically fit, there's no excuses. You got to make the Hajj. Go to the house of Allah. Just do it. Ain't nothing to it but to do it. Sheikh, I'd like to thank you very much. Jazakallah khair for being with us.
Thank you.
See you next time. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.